Okay, so on Friday and Shabbos, we have Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph.
Yay.
Because this year, if you didn't notice yet, is a leap year. A little bit behind the leap year. So let's see how much you know. Why do we have a leap year? Yes, the calendar moves. The solar calendar is how long? 365 days and change, right? And the lunar calendar is 354 days and change, okay? So there is approximately, and again, this is approximate, an 11-day difference. Now, a pure lunar calendar, therefore, will slowly move through the solar year. Hence, the Muslim calendar slowly rotates so that over the course of years, Ramadan can go from being in the summer to being in the winter. Right? Slowly but surely. If it moves 11 days a year, so it'll move, the entire 6 months to be in the opposite, opposite season. And well, you do the math. More or less 16 years, right? More or less 16 years, right? Okay, fine. But halachically, we can't do this. And this is what we're going to see. Why can't we do this? What is the main reason that halachically we cannot? Because there's specifically one holiday that needs to be in a particular season. It's primarily one. Is Pesach, which is described in the Pesukim as Chag Aviv. It has to be in the spring. And therefore we can't. So in order to do that, we need to balance it. And the way we balance it was leap years, which is approximately 7 out of every 19 years. Okay, now in our current cycle, because we know, right, because now, when there was a Beit Din, so they would sit down to intercalate the calendar and decide whether you needed a leap year. Nowadays, because we have the set calendar, so it comes out to 7 every 19, it's basically, do you know when they are? It's 3-3-2, 3-3-3-2. Out of every 19 years, it's 3 years, 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, 2 years. 3-3-2, 3-3-3-2. Okay? Yes, the secular calendar has a leap day, and that's because of the change. That's because of the 365 days and change. And what is the rule for the secular calendar leap year? How often is that? Every 4 years, except if it's divisible by 100, except if it's divisible by 400. So the year 1900 was not a leap year. The year 2000 was a leap year because it's divisible by 100, but it's divisible by 400. So it has to be divisible by 4, not 100, but if it's divisible by 400, then it is a leap year. So every 400 years, the year of the century, the zero year, will be a leap year. What? Great. Okay, that is not halachically significant, but you should know that that is the case. When we intercalate the year, so which month do we add? Adar. We add an Adar. Now, for Purim, which is the holiday we have in Adar, in case you didn't know, but I'm sure you all knew that. That is always in Adar Sheni, because Purim needs to be in the Adar HaSamoch LeNisan, or the Adar which leads into Nisan, Kedei SheYismoch Geula LeGeula. So that we juxtapose the salvation, the miracle that's celebrated in Purim with the miracle celebrated on Pesach. But we are now entering Adar Aleph, so we don't have to talk about Purim yet. What we need to talk about is whether within that context, the main Adar is Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, right? For other purposes. Again, Purim is the second one. That could be the exception. That could be the rule. That's what we need to figure out. Okay, so that's what we'll do. We'll see how long it takes us. But let's start with a little bit of background. So I gave you some of the background, but we start here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yod Aleph, where the Gemara talks about what are the cues that we have to intercalate the year. Okay? Thank you. So the Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, Al Shlosha Dvarim Me'abrin Et Hashana. Okay? There are three things that drive us to intercalate the year. One is is to add the month. Right? Al ha'aviv, v'al ha'perot, v'al perot ha'ilan, v'al ha'tkufa, al shnayim ein ma'abrin, al echad mehen ein ma'abrin. So of these are three simanim. Two out of three is enough for us to know that we need to add a month to the year. Okay, so what are the three? So what's Aviv? So what? So yeah, Aviv, if you look at Rashi, Imlo Bishla Tvua. So Aviv is also indicative of a certain stage of agricultural development. Namely, that it's ripened. So that's what Aviv means. Right? Aviv means the beginning of the new sprouting. Right? It's not just spring. So Aviv is Tua, because it's contrasted with the next one, which is Perot Ha'ilan. So Aviv is the grains. So Raji Ma'abrin Dechtiv, Dekroktiv, Bechodesh Ha'aviv. And as we said, the reason this is relevant is because Pesach is defined as the Chodesh Ha'aviv, as the spring month. Ve'etim Mefarshim Levisha Ein Lam Ehechon Lakriv Omer. So some say that this is a practical problem. Right, so he has two shitot. One is that the importance of it being Aviv is that Pesach needs to be Baviv. The second part of it, he says, is that you need the Omer to be brought, and the Omer is brought from the first of the which grains? Which it is the first of the grains, but which grain develops first, such that you use it for the what day do we bring the Omer? Second day of Pesach, very good. And before the Omer, what are you not allowed to do? Eat the new grain, right? The grain that has taken root since the previous. That's what we call Chadash, right? The prohibition, the Isur D'oraita of Chadash, right? There's a biblical prohibition, if you didn't know this, of eating new grain before the Omer. It's called the Isur Chadash. What is grain called when it passes that date? Yashan, very good. When Gavi's grandfather was here, he was talking about in America, the question is the minhag for many, many, many generations not to be makbid on Yashan in Chutz La'aretz. And the question is why? There's a whole bunch of explanations for it. Is it because it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz? It does not apply to non-Jewish produce. All this seems to be against the Gemara, but whatever. Or is it some weird sfekseka, which what the Ramah takes? But however we get there, the point is there is a prohibition called. So Rashi says that the second possibility is not just Pesach, is that the Omer needs to be brought from the new grain. But if it's too early in the year, if Pesach was tomorrow, there wouldn't be grain, right? Now it's still like the tail end of, I don't know, citrus season, I think. Citrus season. Something like that. I know that the oranges on my tree are now all orange. That's what I know. Okay? I need to pick them. As soon as I have the energy to be Mafresh, Truman, and Meisner and all of them, I will pick them. I have an orange tree in my backyard, which the person who planted it told me it was a lemon tree. It took 5 years because it takes years for these to grow. And then this year I'm like, that's not a lemon. But I've taken like one or two at a time. But now I'm going to do what? Regular orange. I counted yesterday. There were 21 oranges on the tree. I'd taken a few off already, but there's 21 left. So I just need to take them off and deal with Truman and Maestro. But it's not grain season. Okay, if you look around, you will not find grain. But as soon as it is grain season, you will see grain popping up everywhere, as we learned the hard way a few years ago. We had the Yom HaTzmaut barbecue, and it was right after, it was the year my kids were diagnosed with celiac, and Ray Wasserman's kids were diagnosed with celiac. So we had two barbecues. One was the gluten-free one, and one was the gluten one, which is easy because hot dogs, hamburgers are gluten-free. It was just a question of not putting the buns on it. But then guys wanted to start it, so they ran around and grabbed some grass and branches to start the fire. And when I looked at it, it was not that, it was wheat. It was, they actually put wheat and were burning wheat in the gluten-free, which was really quite impressive that they did that. So there will be wild wheat and barley just growing randomly in parks and things like that, if you know what you're looking for. It's not grass, it is wheat. What? Yes, but they thought it was like a weed or something. I don't know what they thought it was. They're like, we found something. I'm like, that is wheat. It's wheat. Yeah, probably, but you know. Probably, but it was just, it was a little bit ridiculous that they were heating up the gluten-free barbecue with wheat and barley and whatever. So Rashi says the second position is that it's, they need something for the Omer. But kashuli, damrin lakamon, al shalosh arzim ma'abrin nashana, al shtayim em abrin im bishla tfuah b'yuda, v'lo bishla b'evra yardim, v'galil ma'abrin nashana, v'itayim isham omer, who are a bishla tfuah b'yuda. Now Rashi says the reason most people reject it is because the Gemara is going to say that we judge this based on how things are developing in three different regions within Eretz Yisrael, and we go by the majority. But the problem is, even if you have a minority of regions that has grain, if it was a problem of the Omer, once you have one region with grain, it should be fine. So the fact that we still care about it shows that it's more about a seasonal question than a practical issue. So that's one. Oper da'ilan, what's the fruit trees? What does that refer to? Im mit acher bishulam yoter mizmana atzeret. Mit abrin. If we see that they, so when are fruits supposed to ripen, most fruit? In the spring, right? By Shavuot, right? Shavuot is the beginning of the fruit ripening season for most fruit, and that's why what mitzvah starts at Shavuot? No, Truman, Bikurim, Chaga Bikurim. Shavuot is Bikurim. The reason is because what is Bikurim? It's the first fruits that you bring. Right, and the fruits are starting, right? So the Bikurim season, the Ikur Bikurim season, in which you would bring the Bikurim and say the relevant Psukim, are from Shavuot to Sukkot, and you can bring it, but without saying the Psukim, from Sukkot to Hanukkah. But the main season starts basically Shavuot.
Can you like say with the bracha?
It's not a bracha, Psukim, but the relevant point in the Gemara is the Psukim. Arami Oved Avi, all that stuff we say at the Seder, which is from the Psukim of Mikra Bikurim.
Can you do that?
Up to Sukkot. No, when you Sukkot, when you go to Sukkot, yeah. So it's anywhere in between. So if we see that the fruit are not going to ripen by Shavuot, which is Zman Avad Bikurim, Dichtiv Yom Kippurim Velo Yivayim Bevo LaRegel Tzarech Litroch LaLor Pam Acheret. That's two, and three is that the Tkufa. What's the Tkufa? Yeah, it's actually more precise here. But yes, Tkufa means a time period, but here it means? Usually the Tkufa here means the equinox, right? The equinox, right? Meaning it's the seasons, but the seasons are off based on the equinox. That's how we would tell. So he says, Bein al Tkufa Tamuz, you want to give it in Shechet, Shein Tkufa Tishri, no felet at Ibra Chag, right? If you see that the fall season, right, Tkufa Tishrei, is not going to come until past Sukkot. Ma'abrin dinafkol nekamon mikra bein al tkufa tevet shinu chazmana atet zayin b'nisan. Or if the winter is going all the way into Nisan, right? Because, right, meaning if again, like you would see with Ramadan, where the year is, you know, moving, that's a problem. Shavada omer dila mitoch tkufa tevet ma'abrin lidchor eramo adol kamon ubizman sha'aviv echad. So now the Gemara continues. Ubizman sha'aviv echad mena kol smeichin. When one of the factors driving you is Aviv, everyone's happy. Why? So Rashi says, "Min ha-shnayim shemitakevet shanayli." And of the three factors, if one of them is the ripening of grain, hakol smeichin shein choshen b'tchila Pesach l'fi she'ein tvua ru'uya, because no one wants Pesach to come if the grain season hasn't come. Meaning, people are very happy to wait because they want to go into Pesach when you need grain for matzah. And also remember, you don't want. He says, "Ve'ein isr chadash nerach aleihem." He says, "If the grain is ready, does anyone want an extra month of chadash?
No.
But if there's no grain, so matov, right? Who cares? If there's no grain anyways growing, aval kshaviv ra'uili katzer. But if the other two are what driving it was the season of the fruit, but there was an unusually early year in terms of the ripening of the grain, then people will get upset because you already have grain present, and by pushing off the month, you can't eat that for an extra month. So then people aren't happy." So again, Rashi thinks that one of the day, or quotes that one of the day out of what Aviv means is specifically that we're worried that people are not going to have grain for the Omer. He rejects that. But he says what it plays out is like this. If your grain is starting, if you have no grain in the field yet, it hasn't started to, it's not ready to be picked.
Okay.
So now, Beitin decides today, decides now we're going to add a month of Adar. No one's going to care. Because who cares? So there's an extra month. I don't have to clean for Pesach for an extra month. And I'm anyways only have grain from the last year. But what if the grain has started to ripen and I add a month to the year because of the other two reasons? So the fruit haven't developed. And the season is out of whack, but the fruit, but the grain is already ready. The second I add a month of Adar, what am I doing? Yeah, the grain I can't eat for another month.
Okay.
Right? So people are upset.
Okay.
So all the Gemara says is people are happy when the reason that you push off the year is because the grain isn't ready. People are like, yay.
Fine, I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's how it plays
out.
This is a pragmatic thing, yes. I mean, the halacha of Yashan leads to people being happy when they don't have to deal with an extra month of grain that could be picked that is halachically aser. If there's no grain to be picked, then who cares? But if there's grain to be picked, and halacha is what's telling you, wait, and then we add a month to that, people are upset.
Wouldn't they still have grain left?
Right? Meaning, I think about it very simple, right? If I told you that, you know, if, let's say you lived in, you know, where you live, the ice cream trucks start coming when the weather, you know,
gets hot,
right? When, you know, it hits above 80, right? And let's say that, you know, you have your ice cream truck, whatever, is
delayed by a month.
Well, I'm trying to think of a halachic one, right? They're going to be switching their distributors, right? From non-kosher to kosher, right? Right now it's not kosher, but by the time the summer comes, it's going to be kosher, right? So if it is 40 degrees outside, Fahrenheit, and you get an announcement from the ice cream company, we're pushing off, right? We were supposed to switch it, you know, March 1st, but we're switching April 1st. And it's a late winter. So March 1st is 40 degrees. They're not coming anyways. You don't care. Right, but if it's an early spring, right, and March 1st is already 90 degrees, so the ice cream trucks are going around and you're hearing the music and you're like, I want ice cream, and then they push off the month for you to eat ice cream, then you're going to be upset. So that's what it is, right? And if there's no ice cream anyway, if there's no grain anyways, so what do I care that you added a month of Isser? It's not there. It is all theoretical, right? But if it's there staring you in the face, the new grain, and we say, sorry, we're adding a month, it's not going to be mutter for another 30 days, then you're upset. Well, that's how it plays out. But you're running out.
Sure.
Right, you're running out. You had a month. If there's no grain anyways, so there's no grain anyways. But if you're running out of the old grain, because it's been 12 months, remember, you're adding a month. Right? So you've gone through 12 months of it, and now we're adding another month. If you're running, your storehouse is running low. So if it's running low and there's no grain in the field, then who cares? But if you're running low and there is grain that you could use, you want to use that grain.
Okay, but then how do we fix that?
We don't. The Gemara is just commenting that people are happy when it coincides with the time that. So Shimon Gamliel Omar Alat Kufa. Shimon Gamliel says Alat Kufa. So what Alat Kufa? He just said Alat Kufa. So Ibayalu Alat Kufa Smechen. Is it that the Tkufa people are happy? Or Alat Kufa Ma'abrit? Or is he saying that the only thing that matters is the season? Right? Meaning all he did was Shimon Gamliel piped up and said, Hatkufa. And everyone's like, what do you mean Hatkufa? Meaning people want to be Ma'abar the Shana when the issue at hand is the season? Or are you telling me the only thing that matters is the calendar dates? Right? Meaning the solar calendar dates and the season. So Rashi says, Shim Hatkufa no felet kitikuna betchilat tishrei ve ma'abar the Shana b'shvil dar machirim. Is he saying people are happy? Why are they happy? Because it pushes it pushes the summer. People have to walk, let's say, a week from wherever they live in Nahariya to Yerushalayim for Sukkot. So either Sukkot's going to be at the end of the summer, and it's going to be the Middle Eastern summer, and it's going to be 95 degrees, right? And you're going to schwitz for the entire week. Or we're going to be Ma'abar the Shana, and it's going to be fall, and it's going to be 70 degrees in a breeze. People are like, geschmack, right? So is that what he's saying, that it's happy? Right? That people are happy when we push it later because of the season, because that makes Sukkot, the Aliyah L'Regel of Sukkot, more comfortable. Or is Shimon Gamliel coming and saying, no, the only thing that matters is the season, i.e., that's the only thing that matters, that the calendar that the solar calendar and the lunar calendar are in sync. That's the only thing that matters. I don't care about the other things. And the Gemara answers, Teku. What does Teku mean?
We don't know.
So what it actually means is Teku, is Tekum, is let the question stand. We don't know, right? But yes, it means we don't know the answer. But it literally means Tekum, let the question stand. Not what you learned.
Find out when Mashiach.
Correct. That's the old thing is, oh, no, it's Rosh Hashanah for Tishbi Tarez Koshir Gabara, that Eliyahu will answer all questions. No. I mean, sure, very nice. But that's not what it means. It means Tekum, the question will stand.
First Gemara experience
with 8 block tickets. That's fine. Tan Rabbanan. In Bob Mitzia. Second barrack. Yep, that makes sense. Yep. That's the normal, very endless take that they start kids off on because you start Gemara for kids on a thing that has no answer because that's what we always want to do.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But it is a very standard barrack to start. Tan Rabbanan. Yeah, I knew what you meant. Evidenced by the fact that I just told you what you meant. Tana Rabbanan. I did not start there. We started in Bracha. More yeshivish places start in Bava Metzia. Not yeshivish places, not so much. What? Anyway, so Tana Rabbanan. So now we say, okay, as I mentioned before, Al Sholosh HaRatzon Ma'abrin HaShana, we base it on three regions in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda, Be'er HaYarden, VaGalil. Yehuda, which is the southern part of Israel, right? So if you think about Yehuda, what the whole Negev is basically Yehuda, up through Hebron, where I live in Gush Etzion. I live in Gush Etzion, not in Hebron. Hebron through Gush Etzion, and then Yerushalayim area already. Or Yerushalayim, that's Yehuda, and south of that. Then the Eber HaYarden, VaGalil. So the north, south, and Eber HaYarden. Those are the three regions, more or less. Al Shtayim and Ma'abrin, we judge based on two out of three. And if Yehuda is one of them, people are happy. Because again, the Omer comes from Yehuda. So again, it's advantageous to us. So this is clearly about the Omer. That's why the other sheets are reading earlier. Fine. You're supposed to do the actual process of Ibur Hashanah in Yehuda. In Mimbrua Begalil... But if you do it in Galil, you do it in the north, it's fine. And Heyed Chananya Ish Ono im Bruda Begalil and Meuberet. Chananya disagrees. Okay? Fine. That's the first part of the Gemara. Then if you turn to Daf Bet, you bet him an Aleph, to go skip down to Tanu Rabbanan. So Tanu Rabbanan Ein Ma'abrin Ed Hashana. Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. We don't sit down to vote on it until Rosh Hashanah, okay? Meaning you don't decide, you know, you don't sit down on the day after Shavuot and say next year, or the end of this year, we're adding. We wait till Rosh Hashanah is in Tish, right? And if you do, it doesn't work. I'm going to add Rosh Hashanah miyad. But when necessary, so you are ma'aber after Rosh Hashanah immediately. But you can wait, obviously, later. But the only month that we ever add, and this is where we come to ours, is Adar. Meaning, we already see, based on, right, you know, like now, we have these predictions for months. Right? It's going to be a rainy winter, right? Because, right? So they obviously didn't have the tools we had, but they could see that, oh, things are delayed in terms of, so... In theory, they could already sit down in Av and say, this year we're going to need to do a leap year. But halakhically, you're not allowed to do that. Right? You can only start Rosh Hashanah. But you don't have to. So if you do, like if you see, it's definitely going to be a year that we need to add. So that you want to sit down in some Gedalia and add a month, you can do that. Right? And already say, we're going to add the month. Now, you add Adar. But you can say several months in advance, we're adding an Adar this year. No, he says, until Rosh Hashanah is not allowed. After Rosh Hashanah, the second Rosh Hashanah is over if you need to, but the month that you add is always Adar. It says, when do you make the decision? You can't make it for Rosh Hashanah. If you need to, you can make it right after Rosh Hashanah. You can make it later. You can say, we're going to wait until today, right? If this was if we didn't have a set calendar, you can wait till today, look outside and say, okay, what's the situation in terms of the... So, What? So, right now, okay, so now what? So, first of all, why Adar? So, let's just talk about why Adar. So, you look at Rashi here, he says, because Adar is defined in Esther as the 12th month. And therefore, Adar must be the 12th month. It could also be the 13th month, but you can't add two Tevets, so then Adar would only be the 13th month. And Rashi in the parallel in Rosh Hashanah says, "Ein mosiv in chodesh al hashanah ela Adar." Tichtev shamor chodesh aviv, chodesh esamech laaviv aber. Shiavo aviv bismana. Rashi elsewhere says, "No, the reason is more fundamental. Is why are we adding? Right? Why are we adding for Nisan? And therefore, we do it in the month leading right, meaning to make sure that Nisan that." Pesach is in the Aviv. And therefore, the month that we do is the one which is the closest to it. Bidyuk. Okay?
So are you allowed?
But in Adar, yes. Not in Nisan. The halacha is, Ein ma'abrin Nisan. It is a machloket, the Gemara says in Pesachim Nivav. Well, not a machloket. The Gemara says that Chizkiyahu made a mistake, according to one Shita. So in Adar, yeah, you can add a month of Adar in Adar. I mean, you could wait and say, not now. Correct. But you can't. So Ein ma'abrin ben Nisan? Once it's Nisan.
Even after Purim, you can add a
month. Once it's Nisan, you can.
So do you have to do a second Purim?
Correct. Then you do a second Purim. Correct. So you have to do Purim Samoch. Okay. Fine. That's the background. But now, so we have 2 months. Now what do we do with them? Which is Adar. So if you look at the Yerushalmi poses this very clearly. Or as clear as the Yerushalmi ever is. The Yerushalmi in Megillah says as follows. Adar harishon tosefet, Adar hasheni tosefet. It asked it very clearly, right? Sometimes the Yerushalmi, sometimes the Bavli is as clear as you want them to be as a good lamdan. So here it says, okay, is the first Adar the additional month? Or is the second Adar the additional month?
I mean, you would think that the first one would be the additional because the second one has Purim.
So Yossi says, well, we know that Purim has to be the one Samach from Nisan. Doesn't that prove it? Maybe yes, maybe no. As we'll see, because Purim might be the exception. So the Yerushalmi says, well, Ma b'neihom. Who cares? What's the difference? Besides, we already know. Meaning, Purim is not in question. We know that Purim is in the second one. So besides for Purim, which we've already established, so now we have to ask, well, yeah, ma b'neihon. So before I even look at what, right, what would be the differences between? Yeah, what would be between calling one the primary Adar and not? Like, who cares? Like, what, you know? What difference? Tell me a difference. If it's not Purim, if Purim we've already established is in the second month, then besides for that, what matters?
What would make it primary versus the second?
Good. So one possibility would be birthday. Now, most bar mitzvah, very good. So one of them, as we're going to see, is birthday, but specifically the halachically significant birthdays, like bar mitzvah. And when does someone become chayev in mitzvah?
And 20, right?
But 20 for certain things, sure. Sure. Not really Shemitah. Shemitah, because Shemitah takes place in Rosh Hashanah, so it doesn't matter. But Nidarim, Shtarot. And if I make a deal that I rent your property until the 10th of Adar, which Adar? Things like that. I make a neder. I will not eat chocolate till the 10th of Adar. And in my mind, I'm thinking because, you know, I need to save up. So, Mishloach Manot, I can eat as much chocolate guilt-free as I want, whatever. Which Adar? Now, then you'll say, oh, it's a... But this is so the Yerushalmi says, okay, well... What is the difference? So Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Shnei Kivtzei Atzeret. What is Kivtzei Atzeret? So sheep, right? Sheep that are brought as karbonot. How old do they have to be? B'nei Shana. Very good. So the question is, well, birthdays of sheep for the purpose of karbanot. Nolad b'chamisha azar b'adar b'shana sheinu meuberet v'nichnas l'shana sheinu meuberet. So they were born in a regular Adar year. And now it's the Adar year with a shana meuberet. In Tamar Adar Rishon Tosefet, if you think the first month is the extra, then Aruchahi, then you get 13 months. You extend it. In Tamar Adar Sheni Tosefet, Ein lo ela ad chamisha azar b'adar Rishon. Right? Then you only get until the first one for it to be considered B'nei Shana within its first year. And after that, it is Pasul. Right? What, meaning any karban that requires a kevesh within the first year, so the birthday of the animal, it matters.
How could you possibly say it's the second month? That doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because it's like you're taking the halacha and changing it for no reason. Like, it could be 12 months if you just give it the first month. If you give it the second month, it's not a year anymore. It's more than a month.
Ah, if you think that's what a year is.
Well, okay.
That's exactly the point. And that's going to be part of the problem. Amar Avayevo Barnagri, Matita Amar King, that Adar Rishon, Tosefet. The Mishnah seems to hold that Adar Rishon is the added one. Titanin and Tamon, Heine Idu Shemavrin et Ashana, Kol Adar. This is what your question before, as I already said, is that you can be Ma'avre the Shana all Adar. Sheomrim Adar Purim, and some say it was until Purim. Heine Idu Shemavrin et Ashana. Now, in Tamar Adar Sheni Tosefet, Lo Kiem Al Shata. Right, so again, there were those who said until Purim. Don't worry, you were in bad company. There were sheet that already in the time of Chazal said until Purim, but we paskin all of Adar. But what's the Chiddush? Why does this apply that the first Adar is additional? Yeah. So it does, right? Because he said the Chiddush, right?
Oh, saying that,
right? Because if you say the second year is the addition, then what are you doing? Then, right? If you would say that the second one addition, it's not the year anymore, right? Meaning we want it to be.
In our case.
Yeah, in this case, exactly. So, Mar Ukva.
Even if the other Rishon is the extra one, who cares?
Right, so the Gemara seems to hold, right? So then the Gemara says, so then Mar Ukva Ashkach train Igrin. He found two letters. Right, meaning as far as like this, meaning if we let you do it all the way to the last day of Adar, so if you are now making this year last year, right, meaning we're in last year, right, but if you're adding a month by the end of Adar, isn't it already next year? Like, you're already, right, by retroactively turning this month into last year, we're in the year, right? This is his problem if you're talking about Yom Acharon Shal Adar HaRishon, right, because he said there's nothing left to this year, right? The fact that we let you do it up to the last minute shows that what we're doing is making... is that the first year is the additional, and we have a whole month left. We're making it a whole month left, right? The Gemara assumes that you need to be ma'aber in the Shana in the Shana. But if you do it, the fact that we let you do 5 minutes to the end shows that the way you show me that last year, right, we're adding last the previous month, so we're adding it, and we're making that we're mamash in the middle of the year, right? That's, it's sort of interesting calculation there, as the carbon is. It's sort of an interesting argument. Mar Aruch Ashach Train Igrin, he found two letters. One, it said, it is good in my eyes and the eyes of my colleagues to add 30 days to the year. And one, it was written, is good in my eyes and the eyes of my colleagues to add a month to the year. He says, well, what's the difference? What's the difference saying a month and saying a year? So he says, adding a month and adding 30 days. So he said, Madam Tlatan Yomen, Adar Rishon Tosefet. The one who says a month implies that the second Adar is additional. The one who says 30 days applies that
it's not.
Right? Why? And the reason, again, what's the reason? Because when you are Be'aber the Shana, the first Adar is always, the Adar next to Nisan is always 29 days. Right? The Adar next to Nisan is only 29 days. Right? Sorry. We have to go back. The Adar next to Nisan is already 29 days. That's the proof. is that since we allow you to do it on the 30th day, that shows that the first one is last year, because it can't be the second Adar. Because the second Adar always has 29 days. Right? So the one who says we're adding 30 days shows that it must be the first month is the extra, because the second one always has to be 29 days. That's part of the proof first proof also. It is. It's a... But the one who says a month implies the second one's additional. I'm just adding a month. Right? Not 30 days. I'm adding a month. 29 days. Right? So this is both the previous line and this line.
What does that have to do with... What does that amount of days have to do with...
Well, the point is that the second month has to be 29. So if I call it a month and I don't call it 30 days, and it, now in general, why would you call and the stam of a month is 29 days. That's the part of the assumption that linguistically, why is 29 days a month? Because the moon is not a full 30 days; it's 29 and a half. And therefore, the stam, when I just say month, I usually mean yerach yomin, something close to the 29 days of the moon. And when I say 30 days, I mean an extended month. But since the second Adar always has to be 29 days, so if I say, so again, the two proofs are, the fact that we let you add a month on the 30th day, we do, proves that, according to Yerushalmi, that Adar Rishon is the added month, right? Because otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to do it, because, right, you would already be in Adar Sheni.
Or you would already be in Nisan.
You already be in Nisan, that's what I mean. You'd be in Nisan.
Right.
Point one, and now the Gemara says, and this is the machloket, right? Is do you say that it's 30 days or we call it a month? If you call it a month, then it means 29 days, which means we're adding a 29 day month, which is the second Nisan. We say we're adding 30 days, that means we're adding the first one, because only the first one can be 30 days, the second one is 29. So the Gemara says, Uman Yerach Yomin Adar Hasheni Tosefet In Min Adar Lechmina Klum. So he said, okay, well. He says, well, based on that, you can't prove anything. He says, no, right? Don't prove that. Dom Rabbi Yaakov Barachov, Rabbi Yudan, Yizorai Yushim, Hashem Yushim, and Levi, Lo'olam Shnei Chadashim, Ubaren. He says, nah, it's not true. You assume that it always has to be 29 days. It's not true, right? It's only if you pass in that way. But he says, Rabbi Yushim and Levi said that if you needed to, well, both of them could be 30-day months. So you're wrong. That doesn't prove anything. Now, it's better... Right, not to. He says, "Iber and Arishon v'lo ben Arsheni machaso asui." Right, it's better. It's better to not. Right, but lo olam adar samach lanisan chaser. Right. So, but we paskin right that really the default at least is that the second one should 29. It's possible to make it 30, but everyone agrees the default is 29. The question of whether you can make both 30, if necessary, is a machloket. Right, but everyone agrees that it should be 29 days. So the simple pshat in the Yerushalmi is that which Adar is primary? The first. The second. The one second. Is the
primary is the second.
What did I just say?
First.
Yeah, there we go. Right? Right, which makes the second Adar Ikar. What? Right, so the first proof is the fact that we allow, under the assumption that the second Adar is only 29 days, so then if on day 30 we allow you to do it, that means we're declaring this, we're declaring this last year's Adar. We're making it the non-Adar, because the main Adar, right, because we're making it that the Adar is 29, the second day, right? Because the main Adar always has to be 29 days. So the fact that we allow you on the 30th day, which otherwise should be Nisan, the fact that we allow you to do it, when we remember, you're not allowed to retroactively add a month to the year. The fact that on the 30th day of Adar, we allow you to add a month, shows you that the first one is the additional one. And that's why we can view it as Adar, because the first one doesn't have the limitations of being 29 days. It can be 30. Right? Now the Gemara backs off and says, Me'ikra Adin, that's not true. Ideally, it's true that you should do 30, 29. But technically, Rabbi Shimon Levi argues it's not true. But either way, the Gemara thinks you can't prove it. But the seeming conclusion of the Yerushalmi is that it is, right, is the second. Now, what raya do we have in the Bavli? So the problem is we don't. Because what we do have in the Bavli, which is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, is what I mentioned to you before, is which is Purim. That shalchu lelemar ukva adar asamach lenisan leolam chaser. Sorry, that the second month is always chaser. Fine, we know that. And the fact that it's Pesach, Fine. Now, Tosfot, if you look there, argues that Lidan Tova Lamalod Arishona. He says the Lalacha, you should add 30 to the first month and 29 to the second. What's his argument? The first one is the additional, like the Yerushalmi. And Ava got there in the Shema Berib is so far. Yerushalmi Gil Ika Plukta. Right? He says there is the whole Yerushalmi, and he just quotes it. Right? And he says, Lasov Dachula, the Ksava Ratsu Shalom Ratsu Yerech. He says, we push it. That the Yerushalmi says, in the end of the day, we're not, it's not Ma'akev, but it's clear that it's better. And the Bavli seems to hold his Ma'akev. Okay? Fine. But again, if it's Ma'akev, then what? Then it should prove that Adar Rishon is the additional one. Right? Because the Yerushalmi says you can't absolutely prove that Adar Rishon is the additional one because maybe both months could be 30. But according to the Bavli, it can't be 30. So Joseph said, you see, according to the Yerushalmi, if the first month can be 30 and the second one can't be, then the fact that you're allowed to be Ma'abar the Chodesh on the 30th day proves conclusively the first one is the additional month and the second one is Ikar. Right? Now the Yerushalmi, Lehalacha Paskins, that it's better to do that way, but not Ma'akev, based on Yerushalmi and Levi. But the Bavli seems to Paskin that what? Le'olam. It's always 30-29. And if that's the case, then according to the Yerushalmi, that would be ironclad proof that the second Adar is the main one. Okay. Now, but what evidence do we have in the Bavli? So this is where we get the following. If you look at the Mishnah and the Darim, you get an explicit machloket about this. So the Mishnah says, Konem Yayin Shani Tom Lashana. If I promise I make a konam. What's a konam? No, konam. Not a kona, konam. No. Right, what's a konam? So no. It's a neder to make something ke'ain hektish. It's right, it's ke'ain kektish, ke'ain karban. Correct. And it's not actually a karban. It's kedushat karban to the point where the Gemara has a shaila of whether yesh or ain ila bikonam. Okay? Once in my life, I saw someone make a konam. It was stupid. Okay. He made a konam. This is a konam. Yes. Yeshiva guys do weird things. So he declared something, not a neder, not asur, but a konam.
I still don't get what it is.
It's where I make a neder that something is asur on me by giving it kedushat karban. Now, it's not actually brought as a karban, it's kedushat karban. Kedushat hektish. It is what it is. It's a neder. It's a type of a neder. Where I forbid something to me. Imagine this says any neder, okay? But that's what a konam is uniquely. Okay? So the Gemara says, Nit'abra shana. So what if I say I'm not going to eat this for a year? I'm not going to have wine for a year. So what does a year mean? And then, Nit'abra shana, there's a leap year. Asr ba ubi ibura. So you're asr through for 13 months. Right? Ad Rosh Chodesh. Adar. Now, what if I said Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar? Now, what if I didn't just say? So, that's not such a chiddush because that's just saying I made it in Tevet. So we assume a year includes the leap month. That's not such a chiddush. The second line though is Ad Rosh Adar. If I say until Rosh Chodesh Adar, so now we're really asking the question because it's one thing to say a year is a year, whether it's 12 months or 13 months. Now we say, what if I said till Adar? So Ad Rosh Adar Harishon. So it's until Rosh Chodesh of Adar Rishon. What does that imply? The second month is the addition. The first one's the Ikar. Ad Sof Adar. And until the end of Adar, what do I mean? Ad Sof Adar Harishon. Until the end of the first Adar. So again, the Mishnah seems to assume that we paskin Adar Rishon's the Ikar. But the Gemara then immediately says, Alma Stama the Adar Dikama Rishonu. Does this prove that the first Adar is the primary, lema madnid Rabbi Yehuda. So then that means that our mission is like Rabbi Yehuda. Titania Adar HaRishon, Kodev Adar HaRishon, Adar Sheni, Kodev Adar Stam, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says, if I'm writing a shtar, and I want it to be an Adar. So, if I write Adar Rishon,
never write a shtar for being Adar.
So then, if I say Adar Rishon, if it's for Adar Rishon, I say Adar Rishon. If Adar Sheni, I say Adar Stam, just Adar. So according to Rabbi Meir, which is Iker? Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Adar Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It's Stam. Exactly.
So why is Shani the Iker?
Because you don't have to specify. If I say Adar, it always means Stam means I just write Adar. Stam meaning Stam blank. Adar nothing. Adar. Not Adar one, Adar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adar Harishon Gotiv Stam. No. If I say Adar, if I mean Adar Harishon, I just say Adar. And Adar Shani Gotiv Tinyan. And if I say Adar Shani, I say one. Right? What? Correct. So the Gemara says, and I feel the Gemara, Abai says no. I feel that Rav Meir, maybe even Rav Meir agrees with our Mishnah. It depends. Did he know that it was going to be a leap year or not? Because if he didn't know it was going to be a leap year, then maybe he, for the purpose of the neder, only meant the first month. So maybe by shtar he thinks that it's Adar Sheni, but for neder, it depends on whether you knew about it. If I didn't know, then I clearly only meant Adar Rishon, because I thought there was only going to be one other. If I did know, it'd be Adar Sheni. Ah, good. So hold that for 2 seconds. Vatanya Rosh Chodesh Adar. So it says, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Meshav Uberet, Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Michal Dereja Lav Uberet. That's Kiddush Shmamina. The Pshita Lamar Rishon Adar Lo Yada. Says, okay, right, it's clear. Which the Gemara continues, says, but doesn't say ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Fine. Im ani shad meberet ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, which implies Michal Dereja Lav Meberet Askina, which implies that the first one is not. Well, he says the fact we talk about Meberet implies that I knew about it. So Gemara says, you see, there's a difference between whether I knew and I didn't know. Okay, fine. Now, how does it seem like we paskin? So we have two questions you need to ask here. One is, how do we paskin in this sugya? And the second question is this sugya indicative of a broader principle? That's two questions we need to ask. Now, why would you think that, what would you guess? Is this sugya indicative of all areas of halacha or not?
In what sense?
Do you think that this machloket, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda clearly argue, is Adar Rishon the main one or is Adar Sheni the second one?
No.
Good. Why? But they argue in two cases, Neder and Shtarot. And then Gemara says, maybe you could, it depends, did you know? Fine. But let's say, from this Gemara, could you automatically determine what the halacha would be by Bar Mitzvah?
No.
No, why not?
Because.
So one, you could say yes. Meaning, they're really arguing about Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Or you could say, no, why no? That's the question I want to know. Because it's specific. Why is it specific? Why might this case be different?
Because it's an agreement.
Very good. It's because, as the Gemara already notes, Shtarot are about agreement, and Nedarim are about what? What you thought, what you meant. Right? Nedarim go, Holchen, Belashen, Rachmanan. The rule by Nedarim is we go by what people mean, what everyone understands they mean. These are two areas that are not objective questions. They are... Correct, right? If the Oxford English Dictionary defines a word in one way, but anyone who writes shtarot means something else, and everyone understands that, then what matters is not the technical definition. What matters is what everyone understood it to mean. So in order to understand the relevance of this sugya, you need to ask two questions. One is this Gemara making a universal argument about Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, or a localized one, meaning that maybe halachically Adar Rishon is the main one, but everyone thinks Adar Sheni is the main one because of Purim, right? Or vice versa. Adar Sheni is the main one, but everyone thinks Adar Rishon is the main one because it's what comes first, right? And if that's the case, you could distinguish and say, Machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is only about these two, which are about what did you think? But maybe Bar Mitzvah would be different. So you need to answer two questions, which how do we paskin? And what is the relevance of this to other halachot? Okay, so if you look at Tosfot, if you look at the Ran here paskins v'alalocha kevin dekaimon deri meir or yudah locha b'yehuda and even the stam adar rishon mashma. He says whenever there's a machloket b'yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we paskin le b'yehuda. Hilchach mishomid b'adar sheni the code of adar stam ashtar mukta mupasol the rishon mashma starok shiichto bechodesh adar sheni v'adar rishon stam ben megidin ben mishtarot. So he says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The main one is either Rishon, but for what purposes? Shtarot. He doesn't tell you what he holds in other areas. We pass Rabbi Yehuda in this sugya. You look at Tosfot. Very small. Yeah, you can leave Tosa. It is very small. You look at the Rambam. The Rambam baskins she'eni shota yain ad rosh adar imhayt hashenu uberik lo yada shehim uberik shenadar in osra al rodesh chodesh adar rishon. By nidarim, he says we go by adar rishon, meaning we paskins like Rabbi Meir, right? V'im nadar. Sorry. Is that right? Sorry. The Rambam says if I say until Rosh Adar, I mean Adar Rishon. But if another Asof Adar, but if I tell this it's still the end of Adar, then what do I mean? Hareza Asof Adar Sheni. That it's Adar Sheni. Now, he distinguishes weirdly here, right? Because he says that Rosh Adar still means Adar Rishon, even according to the Meir, seemingly. It's right, because you could say it's sort of Adar, but the end of Adar, what's the Ikar Adar for him? Seems like Reb Meir, because he goes by Adar Sheni. And that's how the Kesem Mishnah understands him. That Umashra Rabbeinu Dalach Kerv Meir, Vatam Gorangar Allah, the Matitin Lemer Behudi, Mashra Titchika Mel Dalokum and Dalokar Meir, Mishum Destama Din Reb Meir. Odin Dalokav Adavid Dukum, came to the Bay of Adar Kerv Meir, and I can give out the Gaimel Alch Kestam Mishnah, Vahod, the Bright, the Mightest Yuha Medin, the Stama Kerv Meir, Kavati Naktina, the Ritva, Paskins, that Adar Stam, Adar Sheni Mashma, that it's Adar Sheni, like Reb Meir. Right, Komer Desfir, like Adar Stam, Adar, right, then he, raises the Kaimel under a Mary, you don't have to be Stam is in Kavat. They have other Stam, other Rishon Mashma. Right, he says, right, he quotes the first day, but he says, La Halacha, we possibly be Yehuda. And he notes that many people made this mistake. Ukvar Toba, Ze Rabbi, Udol, Makhlok, Ikra, Halacha, Le, Maisa. Right, so we have a Machloket in the Rishonim, whether we passed in like Rebbe Meir or Rebbe Yehuda. However, again, what's important? Is that none of these Rishonim make it explicit whether they're making a local argument within Nedarim or a global argument about Adar. Very good. How would you determine whether, how would you figure out whether someone believes that it's a localized halacha in Nedarim or a generalizable halacha in everything? Very good. As you find a different case and figure out, well, how do they pass it? Very good. As you would test it in a case which isn't these. Right? Very good. Very simple. So if you look quickly on at Shulchan Aruch, in the case of Nidarim, sorry, by Shtarot, by Halva'a, the Rambam writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shnei Avot Shanaz B'Shanu Uberet, Echagot V'Adar Stam, Echagot V'Adar Sheni, the ain lelovin echadim yagid shneim. Note lemish gadu bo other stam. If you have two shtara, one says other stam, one says other sheni. Vim shneim nichtav adar stam. Have ikmos shgadu v'shneim adar rishon. By shtar, how does he paskin? Very clearly, adar rishon, like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? By shtar he paskins very clearly. Right. Yeah. But look at next halacha. Look in Gittin. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Shana Mu Beret, Yechlov Adar Rishon, Lirech Adar Rishon, Shani Yechlov the Yerech Adar Shani. Here he says, if it's Adar Rishon, write Adar Rishon, and if it's Adar Shani, write Adar Shani. What's the problem? Right? What's the problem? If it's Adar Rishon, you write in the get, Adar Rishon. And if it's Adar Shani, you write Adar Shani. Who does he Paskin like? Neither of them. Right? Very good. Now, that's not such a big deal, because, and the Rama says, Vim kadar b'adar rishon, adar stam, kasher. And the Rama says, we write an adar rishon, adar, it's kasher. Avam kadar b'sheni stam, haget puzzle. So the Rama seems to pass on like a Yehuda, it's adar rishon, for the purpose of get. Mechaber seems to, right, what's the problem? So the answer that most of the posts can get, I won't you know, force you to read it all inside, is basically that it's a suffix. He's probably paskin other Rishon, but again, we're overly machmir. And since there's a machlok Rishon, we're paskin Rameir Yehuda. Fine, we're machmir. So can that prove anything? No. And if you look through the Mefarshim, they'll go, okay, it's fine. So again, we're machmir.
So that means
No. It's just what you write in the get. This is what you write. Do you write Adar Rishon in the get? Like if it is Adar Rishon, do you write Adar or Adar Rishon? So he says, you're right, but the post can be, that's not a question. He may Meikra den Paskin that it's Adar Rishon, but because there's a Machloket and Gittin words, so we're Machmir, fine, Machmir. Proves nothing. Next, Shulchan Aruch. By Nidarim, says Amar Shana Achad Oshana Stam, Asr made late, and Abra Shana Asr Bao Bibura. So that is clear. But if you say a year, it includes the Ibur. But what if Amar Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon? Atzov Adar, Atzov Adar Sheni. Ula Ramam, the other Shana Bavari, Amar Ad Rosh Chodesh Asur. Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So he says that we go by what? Adar Sheni, unless we knew. Right now, again, what does he seem to be paskening? Like the Rambam, right? Adar Sheni now, right? So how could you do that, right? Now there seems to be a contradiction, right? Right? How do we deal with it, right? So again, to quickly review, and then we'll probably end with this. So what do you have, right? So we had Tosfot paskin like Rabbi Meir, that it's Adar Sheni. The Rambam Paskin, like Rabbi Meir. The Ran Paskin, like Rabbi Huda, that's Adar Rishon. The Ritva Paskin, that it was. Right. But then, right, we got the, right, Shulchan Aruch, have different things. By Alvai Paskin's Rabbi Huda, that it's Adar Rishon. But by Nidarim, he's Machmir, like Rabbi Meir, that it's Adar Sheni. By Gittin, he's Machmir. So all of these, we could say, doesn't prove anything, right? Because, okay, there is a machloket here. But how are we going to start, right? So, if we want to know in other cases, outside the world of Nidarim, and Shtar, which we already said might be unique, right? It's not totally clear with Shulchan Aruch Ban, because he's hedging, right? He's hedging, and we already saw that Nidarim are unique. Right? Okay. I could read through and torture you in all the Achronim. I'm not going to do that. But what we'll see next time is, okay, so when we move out of the cases of Gittin and Shtar and Nedarim, which might be unique or might be Chumrot, and we talk about other cases, and we're going to see the main ones that come up are Bar Mitzvah, Yartzeit, and things like that. That's when people are going to have to say, how do we paskin? And not just in the Darim, which might be unique, and Shtar, which might be unique, because they're about agreement, and they're about Lashon B'nei Adam. But how do we paskin in general, right, when it's about an objective date, right, and not just how people refer to it, how are they going to paskin? That's what we will see next time. And obviously, I'm not going to make you read all the Nosei Kelim to try to work it out, but it's enough to say that Shulchan Aruch seems to be ambiguous about it. But again, Shtar don't necessarily prove. The Darim don't necessarily prove, because they might be unique because of the role of people's understanding in those sugyot. But next time, we'll come back, and we will deal with Bar Mitzvah, we'll deal with Yartzeit, and some of the ones that are, these are like the fun shailas that everyone wants to know, right? But these are the ones, but now you have the background. We'll spend either one or two more weeks on this. I'm not sure. We'll see how fast we go through it. Okay? Mm-hmm.